Let's bring in Bob McKenzie, our hockey insider, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. What's your take on this? How did this come about? Camilleri for Jokinen and two guys with similar contracts, one-year deals, Edmonton and L.A.?
Yeah, I think you guys mentioned a number of the factors. Neither guy was flourishing where they were, so that was for starters. In terms of the specific needs, Edmonton found Jokinen's game to be really slow and too methodical from a team that's been too slow and methodical outside of there are a couple of high-end forwards. So they want to try to get a little more quickness, a little more natural scoring, potential scoring in their lineup. So Camilleri fits the bill a little more there, even though his numbers have been in a pretty steady and fairly steep decline. He wasn't happy in L.A., getting limited minutes and playing in the bottom half of the lineup. And I think L.A. was envisioning Marian Gaborik coming back into the lineup fairly soon. And they were thinking that that was a redundancy, that they didn't need Gaborik and Camilleri playing in their top 12. Wasn't going to work for anybody, I don't think. So they recognize that Jokinen is not a speed demon, but he's sort of a useful utility guy that will know his role, stay in his lane, do his thing in the bottom half of the lineup, be a solid pro, and have no issues on that front.
So do you expect the dam to break here and more of these deals are going to happen, or was this just a one-off?
No, I think there's lots of talking going on. Now, whether the dam breaks or not remains to be seen. You get the general managers getting together Friday in Montreal for the GM's meeting. Sometimes getting them face-to-face helps spur on a few things, and there are lots of teams that are in the mode to do something, but I think you got to make sure you pump the brakes a little on what that might be. You know, Camilleri for Jokinen is not exactly a blockbuster at this stage of their careers, and those may be the types of deals in the absence of really big-name moves that we might see. But there's lots of teams. I mean, Anaheim, Montreal, the Rangers, they've all been looking for a center since before the season started, and they continue to. Team like Florida, that's aside from their win last night, has been on tough times in the early going. They're looking for a scoring winger. There's lots of teams looking for goals, lots of teams looking for forwards. I'm just not sure how many attractive options there are available right now, but phones are humming, but whether that means anything gets done or not.
Wouldn't you think that the same team that made the deal last night, Edmonton, would want to be the most aggressive? I mean, teams with expectations that are, you look at Anaheim and Edmonton, I know in Anaheim you could say they're dealing with a tremendous amount of injuries, but Edmonton's got to be thinking, we had no clue we'd be right here at this stage of the game. We got to make a move.
Yeah, and that's part of the reason why they did make a move, and they think they're starting to turn the corner. There have been some more positive than negative signs over the last little while. But they, I don't think they're fully comfortable with where they're at. And it was suggested to me today that maybe Edmonton could be working on something else. Nothing major, I don't think, but continuing to tweak their lineup to try and get a little quicker, to try and get a little more offense. So we'll see. In the meantime, you know, they're coming off an 8th spot. Now it was against Vegas Golden Knights with an injured fourth-string goaltender. But nevertheless, earlier in the season, that might have been a tough out for Edmonton. And the fact they put 8 up maybe is a little bit of a catalyst to get them going here.
You just mentioned Vegas. Like, Marc-Andre Fleury, isn't this a long time for
concussion? I think it's his third. But it's I think it's his third, is it not?
I don't know. It seems like it's getting to be a long time.
You know what the problem is, though, too? It's one of those ones where he is so very, very close. My understanding of the situation, and it's not uncommon with some players and concussions, is that he may be going a day or two or three with nothing in the way of symptoms, and then just when you start to push it and you think you're over the hump, all of a sudden a symptom presents itself. And it's not a horrible symptom, but it's a clear indication that the brain's not ready to go back to work yet. And so
I feel like that often.
Yeah, exactly. But and I think that, you know, some guys have that profile where the last 3 or 4 or 5% of the recovery is really slow and plodding. And, you know, and if you're doing it the right way, And let's be honest, lots of players and lots of teams don't do it the right way. If you're doing it the right way, 96 or 97% isn't enough. It's got to be 100. Because if you go in at 96 or 97 and you take a shot off the mask or the first guy crashes the crease, then you're back down to, you know, 10 or 20%.
I'll just go back to, I guess, trades and kind of trade chatter in the league right now. You're saying teams are being proactive, and there's no doubt. U.S. Thanksgiving is very close, so teams are starting to assess where they are. But is this where now you're starting to look at potential? I mean, Duchesne's off the market now, so that was the name that everyone kind of circled. But you're still, like, for me, I'll bring it closer to home, like, JVR needs a contract. Bozak needs a contract at some point. Like, there's some pending unrestricted free agents on a lot of other teams that they've got to make some decisions on to, are these guys going to fit into our plan, or do we need to see if there's a marketplace? So is that where GMs start to create a marketplace at these meetings early on in the season to see where they fit with throughout the league?
Yeah, I think the rental market's always interesting, and, you know, and place in Buffalo, for example, what are they going to do with Evander Kane? I don't think they're going to commit to him long term. And there will be interest. I mean, he's outside of the fact that the Sabres are not winning, and he hasn't been as good in his last number of games as he was earlier on, but he's still playing pretty well. That's an interesting name that would be there. But Jamie, to your mention of the Leafs, for example, I'll reinforce it. I don't get the strong sense at this point in time, qualify it that way. At this point in time, I don't get the strong sense at all that Lou Lamoriello and the Toronto Maple Leafs are exploring their options for JVR or Bozak or Leo Komarov, thinking, hey, we can't let these guys walk out of here for nothing at the end of the year. I think, and I've said it before, absent being able to find the perfect fit for the perfect complement to what they need, i.e., say, a good defenseman, which I don't think exists. I mean, you know, if you're going to trade JVR, who's on an expiring contract, and you expect to get a high-end defenseman back for him, it would almost have to be also on an expiring contract, and there's not very many of them around. So, okay, well, then you'd say, well, John Carlson, Washington Capitals, he's on an expiring contract. He's a really good fit for the Toronto Maple Leaf blue line. Yeah, well, he's a really good fit on the Washington blue line. That's why he's playing more minutes than any player in the National Hockey League right now. They're not trading John Carlson. They haven't talked to him about a contract. They don't know if they will talk to him about a contract. They'll see how things play out over the course of the season. And maybe, just maybe, he is available at the deadline, depending on what happens with Washington. But that's a long way to go until they figure that out. And I think the Leafs are in the same boat with JVR and Bozak and Leo, that there's no rush here. Let's let the season play out. Let's go along now. If something pops up along the way, I'm sure the Leafs have the flexibility to say, yeah, we'll entertain that notion for the right player. But I don't think the right player is available right now, and I don't think the Leafs are in any hurry to do that. So a lot of these guys that normally would be rentals, the rental market doesn't really start to get going until closer to the deadline. So as a result, I think that part of the marketplace is a little more chilled. And even in Vegas, I mean, George McPhee is getting calls every day. Hey, what about James Neal? What about David Perron? I mentioned all these teams that want scoring. They're calling George McPhee and saying, we'll take those guys right now. Let's do it. And George has got to be like, well, you know what? We've had a pretty competitive start to the season, even though we're getting dusted here lately. We probably want to try and milk everything we can out of these guys to make this season as competitive as possible and keep our fans happy. And then if things, are going the expansion route way closer to the deadline, then we'll get into an auction for James Neal and David Perron. We're not opposed to trading them, but let's get the auction going closer to the deadline and see what we can drill these prices up.
Thank you, Bob. Enjoy it down there tonight. We'll do it again soon.
Thanks, boys.
Bob McKenzie, your TSN Hockey Insider.